Hey everybody, welcome to another Pop Culture Kiki episode of Beyond the Blinds. As always, it's me, Kelly Williams.
And Troy McKeaty.
And this week we are recording a little extra early, so if anything happens after like 1 p.m. on Tuesday the 26th, it's gonna have to wait for next week.
But yeah, I mean, listen, there's again not really much to talk about. There's this guy named Sean something who was like,
Is it Shaun White, the Olympian?
yeah, it's Sean Honeycombs or something like that. And there was some sort of arrest or something. Did you watch the video of him in the yard?
It was so crazy. So I can't believe, well, I shouldn't be surprised, but the fact that Diddy was allegedly fleeing the country and just left his sons there to be like, peace.
Yeah. Fucking insane. And that video is like, that is going to be a video that lives on an internet infamy forever. Like, that's one of those iconic, you know, in TMZ sometimes they have those moments where it's like, well, you guys did your big one on that one, because that's gonna get billions of hits.
I mean, you and I were both like, we won't believe it till we see it. And I am still kind of feeling that way. I'm still
Yeah.
like, he could like finagle his way out of Homeland Security, right?
Oh, trust me, I feel like with him being Tony Soprano, there's always the option, there's always the possibility that something will happen. But it is absolutely insane to see all of this going down. Like, it's nuts.
I promise you guys, if his New York townhouse gets raided, I will take the subway there. I will be boots on the ground. I almost said feet on the ground. I'm like, boots on the ground.
You're like toes to the ground. Yeah, I want that raid. What sucks is like, I want to know what they find, and I wonder how much of it we'll be privy to and how much of it they'll keep secret. Because, you know, I mean, that house is full of fucking crazy shit and sex tapes. And I mean, can you, the guns, the machine guns, like the shit that they probably found.
And it seems like they were there for like hours upon hours upon hours.
Yeah. That was a moment. I'm sure your phone was blowing up. I was like, this cannot be real. I just couldn't believe it.
And I think it's really wild that the house is on like his daughter's names, and that's the house that he allegedly abuses women the most in.
Also, we have to mention, because so many people have sent this to us, yes, the Robin Greenhill from Britney's conservatorship is involved in this, and it is so Shakespearean because it's like, hopefully she has to be investigated. There was no justice served with the Britney Spears situation. So yeah, let's fucking air out Robin Greenhill. Let's air all her shit out. I hope that they found a stack of fucking documents in that house from her. Like, I need her public moment.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for all this to be exposed. I also think Diddy's the kind of person to just rat on everyone. Like if he sees a deal, he seems like a snitch to me. I don't know.
Well, I mean, he said he'd be willing to kill his mom.
Well, he did say that, correct.
So, well, to be exact, he'd eat her face off or something.
He would eat Mr. Jones's face off because he has no issue killing his own mother. Just so you guys know, we do have a Patreon episode where we read through the entire court document. And yeah, when Troy and I were both like, you know, maybe they won't get him, after reading that, I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, it's happening. It's really fucking happening.
And it
He is.
couldn't happen to a better guy.
Seriously, I mean, and I've seen so many people on the internet being like, whoa, like, is Diddy the Harvey Weinstein of the music industry? And I'm like, I'm so happy that people are even using that wording, because people should understand the magnitude of how powerful this is. Like, he is the collector of so many secrets. He has been at the forefront of so many crazy, like, insane things that he's never gotten in trouble for, from murders to rapes to child fucking trafficking to, I mean, it's just insane. So this is like a really, this is major. We love to see it.
So one thing that I did see about the raid, which I wasn't expecting, is that Justin Combs is the godfather to Cheyenne from Teen Mom's Child.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess this is a way for us to talk about Teen Mom Family Vacation quick.
Beautiful transition.
I do think there's something with Cheyenne and Zach that feels so wrong. Like the fact that they had their car completely shot up and nobody is allowed to really talk about it. I have no idea, but knowing they're tied to Diddy just makes me more nervous. But Teen Mom Family Vacation, only 130,000 people watched last week, me being one of them. And what sucks is it's a really fun season. Like the whole cast is in Cartagena.
Oh,
And
cool.
the house that they're in is like a real world house. And they're just couples fighting. Corey's not getting his good edit anymore. Like it's just showing him drunk and crazy. I'm like, listen, if there's one season people should watch, it's this one. But they don't even have it up on like Paramount to buy. I think Teen Mom's like dead.
Yeah, I mean, they did all they could though, didn't they?
They tried.
The reboots, the revamps, the breaking the fourth wall, the letting go of the cast, bringing them back, mixing it up, Bristol Palin, like they've done everything that there is to do to keep a dead reality show alive. At this point, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw it end soon.
RIP Teen Mom. Thank you for all the memories.
I have to talk about Madonna.
I am so excited for this.
Okay. So if you follow me on Instagram, you saw I posted last night the text message that we sent. You know those like those numbers that are on the screen when you go to a concert? Whoever really texts them, you know? I personally don't. I can't speak for everybody, but I'm always like, I'm not going to be getting text messages from the fucking whatever arena for the rest of my life. I'm not sending anything to that number. And I don't know what it was about that moment where we were all just like, let's text that number and see if we can get something fun. Like, who knows? And it didn't even say like what you would get. It just said like, text the number to chat with Madonna. And we just asked to be in the pit. That's like, I just said like, hi, we're gays.
Troy said, we finna be in the pit.
I was like, hi, we're gays and we dressed up and we're fun. Can we please get in the pit? And then they like immediately responded. And we were all like, wait, what? What? And then when they asked for the picture of our like outfits or whatever, I think like we all just, for whatever reason, the vibe was just like, they're gonna text us. Like, we just knew. I was like, I couldn't stop looking at my phone. They were both looking over at my phone. Every time I accidentally lit it up, my heart fucking palpitated. I was like, they're going to text us. And then they did. And our seats weren't bad, but they weren't the pit. And we went out there and they took us down. And it was just like, it was so surreal. I cannot believe that that shit worked. So I'm telling you, when you guys go to concerts, text those stupid fucking numbers that they put up on the screen to chat with Taylor Swift or whatever, because you just never know. But it was like probably one of the most fun experiences I've ever had in my entire life. It was just so crazy, and there weren't even that many people in the pit. There were maybe like 20 people on our side.
Oh wow. So
we got to walk around and follow her from stage to stage, and like I was up against her feet. I was pressed up against her leg, basically. She poured beer on our heads.
What was your favorite part of, like, the whole thing? Because I know you are a Madonna gay.
I'm a big Madonna homosexual. And we all are. Like, all three of us are big Madonna gays. So it was, like, a big deal for all of us. I would say my favorite moment was probably the stuff with like Alyssa Edwards, like the drag stuff was so fun. I loved being able to see her kids. Like her daughter, Mercy, is such a crazy piano player. She did this crazy like Mozart, like wild on the keys thing before she played. And it was so cool to just like see her kids so close. Just being so close to her was like the most fun thing.
Was it your first Madonna concert?
No, this was my second, but it was Jesse and Zach's first concert.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I was like, this is a crazy first experience. I cannot believe that. Yeah, it was nuts. And then the next day we went to Mahaya.
Wait. Oh, we're in the Nicole Smith's room.
I went to Mahaya with Zach. It was shocking. Like, I was like, it Mahaya was everything I thought it would be. But also, I'm gonna be completely honest. I was very shocked by how many Black people lived in Mahaya. I was expecting to go to this bumfuck town in the middle of nowhere, Texas, and be surrounded by the cast of The Simple Life season one. And it was like there were so many people of color in Mahaya. I just thought that was really surprising. But yeah, we went to all of Anna Nicole's spots. We went to her high school. We tried to find her house, but we couldn't find the address online. And it's so funny because Dani Lynn just went to Mahaya and did like a tour of her mom's spots. So we were using Dani Lynn's tour video from like ABC, whatever, to find where to go next. So we were like on the trip with Dani Lynn in our minds, basically. But it was really cool. We went to the chicken. To Jim's Crispies or whatever. It was very good. It was cool to see where she met Daniel's dad. And like I saw where she talked about like sitting at the window and like looking out and like gazing and pretending she didn't live there. Like I saw the window. And it was just really surreal. And also, by the way, that town like disowns her,
Oh.
claim her. So there's nothing, any, not even a photo in Jim's Crispy Chicken of Anna Nicole. Like, you wouldn't even know that she was from there. They don't talk about her or anything at all. We were clearly there because of Anna Nicole. Like, it was so obvious that we were there to like take pictures and shit. And nobody, yeah, she's not like they act like she doesn't exist.
You know what I see for you and Zach in the future? Like going to pop girlies' hometowns and doing like YouTube, like eight almost like a Cribs or AD tour, but it's of like Kentwood, Louisiana.
Our next trip is Louisiana.
Listen, I think that's great. You and Zach should also have your own simple life. And also shout out to Jesse for his outfit.
No, it was fun. It really did. I was like, we should do this more often. Like, I can't believe that this was free to come to Bahia and go to Jim's Crispies. Like, this was a free. But
It's
no,
like
it's
your
really
best,
cool.
it's your favorite thing, it's your best thing.
It is. It was great.
So I guess we need to talk about Kate Middleton really quick.
Okay.
Now, last week there was a video that came out of Kate and she spoke and she said, you know, I've been dealing with cancer. That's kind of what's been going on. And that's that. We can leave it at that. I've seen people pick apart the video. I've seen people try and say it's fake because she's wearing the same sweater from 2017. And this is something where like I can get wrapped up in it really easy. But like
Okay.
end of the day, Kate has said, I have cancer and we have to respect that. I think it's okay to criticize how the royal family handled this. I think it's okay to criticize like the communication from Kensington Palace, but like let Kate do what Kate needs to do.
Well, I just want to apologize as somebody who doesn't even fucking know anything going on with the royal family, commenting on it and making jokes about her getting a BBL. Now I feel really bad.
I mean, I don't know. I think we can say like that picture of her in the car was very strange. The fo blaming Photoshop on a woman who's dealing with a cancer diagnosis is strange, but
Yeah.
like you gotta hope Kate will be okay with, hopefully,
Yeah.
she likely has like the best care in the world. So,
As listen, I'll speak for the entire internet. We are all collectively sorry for joking about it for so many days. Like it just feels really icky now. I think all of us collectively feel like, ugh, that's, you know, it's just sad.
and we're just gonna leave it at that.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I wanted to talk really quickly about The Real Housewives of Potomac, which just recently aired its finale. And the finale was absolutely fucked. King bananas. There was a fight. There's always some crazy fucking fight on Potomac, which is crazy because they're not like scrappy gals. Like, they're not the kind of girls that you picture when you think of a bunch of women like physically fighting. But there's always some blowout, crazy, violent, bloody, people grabbing bottles, glasses shattering, going to the hospital, stitches fight on Potomac. It's insane. This particular fight was wild. They cut out a majority of it, but of course the videos of everything are on the internet. There's like an unedited version of the video online. It's just crazy. I don't even know where I fall on this fight. Like, I don't know if there's a right or a wrong. It just seems like it was just generally messy. At the forefront of all messiness, though, is Ashley Darby. Like, Ashley Darby orchestrated this crazy situation, and then it got out of hand, and she wants to, like, wipe her hands of it and be like, I don't condone. It's like, no, babe, you more than condone, you facilitate and orchestrate. Like, it was wild.
One thing you said once on a Pop Culture Kiki, I think about it all the time, you calling her Ashley Bobblehead Darby. And like, I don't even really follow the show, but it's all I think about whenever I see a picture of her, a clip comes across my Instagram. It's all I think about.
She's very much the girl that like throws a stone and then hides her hands. And she's like, well, I'm not involved and blah, 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 blah. Like it was nuts. Potomac was a flop year for Potomac. And it's so funny because when the season first started, I yelled at everybody for not watching it. And I shepherded them towards watching the worst season of the show. Sorry. but it was a terrible season, a crazy finale. We also found that this cast member, Mia, like she's in this really weird kind of like sugar daddy Anna Nicole actually kind of relationship. And it turns out the whole thing is like a lie, and they exposed their crazy weird relationship on the last episode where one of their children might not even be his, and he's always known. Yeah. And she has had a boyfriend this whole time that he knows about. So they got in a fight in the finale about like how she was like flaunting her boyfriend around him, her husband. And apparently he's like some rapper. It is such a mess. But also Candace is leaving the show, which is like very painful for me. Your Robin Dixon is leaving the show, which is a triumph because she does not belong on reality TV. It's a lot going, and then also Karen Huger got a fucking DUI.
So the pictures looked insane from that crash.
No, and it's always been a thing on the show where the women will hint that Karen has like a drinking problem, but Karen is really good at deflecting stuff off of her and having it not be about her. So this was like crazy, crazy moment for Real Housewives of Potomac for a terrible season. To end with just like complete pandemonium is like very interesting.
But was it like fun pandemonium, or was it like, oh, this isn't a show I like anymore? Do you know what I mean?
I'll always love Potomac. It's going to be interesting to see how they shake the cast up because it feels really stale right now. You know, sometimes like when a show's on for a long time, like the dynamics are so set, they don't change. Because it's like the people who are friends, the people who aren't, and it's not going to change. So I do think that the show needs to be shaken up to kind of like add some new dynamics and maybe shift some friendships and stuff. But yeah, bye, Robin. Fucking bye, girl. See ya. Bye, Candace. I hope to see you soon.
It's funny that you're like, you know, a show that I'm like Teen Mom. Yeah, I'm aware.
Yeah. Where it just goes on and on and on.
So since we're talking Bravo, Summer House Martha's Vineyard premiered on Sunday. And like, it's tough because I feel like individually, I like most of the people on the show. But when they come together, I just feel like there's something missing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's because Bria is clearly like the troublemaker of the group. Right. But she just gives such like little sister energy where like, say like Lindsay Hubbard gives like older sister mean energy. So it's a different
older sister.
So it's like a different kind of like annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I love Preston. I think Preston is such a star. I mean, I don't know if they're ever going to do Winterhouse, but if they don't have him on the show, they're missing out.
So obviously I didn't get to watch yet.
Oh,
I was
right.
In Mahia. but I am very excited that it's back. I really hope that it has like a big major season, because I feel like their first season was like people didn't really talk about it as much, and That kind of happened with Southern Charm New Orleans, where all of a sudden the show just didn't exist anymore because people weren't like talking about it as enough. So I just want them to have like a good season because they're a black show on Bravo, and Summer House is just so white. Such a white show. So I don't know. I'm excited. I hope that people like watch it this year.
And I really hope we kind of get to know more about Jordan, because I think Jordan is kind of like the star of Summer House. But like, I can't hear you complain about how men just want to fuck you and not get to know you. Like, yeah, that sucks. Like, I wish people would ask you more questions too, but like, I want to know more than just that. It's like Sierra, kind of.
I was just thinking that. Well, I will watch and then report back next week. I'll be caught up, I promise.
You'll love it. Amir. I think Amir's so cute. But he's
Oh.
talking about how like he's like, my girlfriend doesn't want anyone to, me to talk to anyone. And it's Jordan, and I forget her friend's name, but they're like, the gag is we don't want him anyway.
Oh my God, I'm very excited. Have any of them been on Winter House? I don't watch Winter House.
Jordan.
Oh yeah, duh, hello. Yeah,
And
I
again,
had to.
that was about like not wanting to fuck men in the house.
Yeah.
And eventually she did open up about being the only person of color, which I thought was great. I maybe like maybe the editing that Jordan has been given just hasn't been like right. I don't know how else to say
Yeah.
that.
Are you caught up on OG Summer House?
I am.
What are your thoughts?
I think I was right about my man Jesse.
You were right. I thought about it. I was like, okay.
And
Okay. You go. Well,
no, you.
I was gonna say it's like I like that he's so like not nervous to like ask uncomfortable questions and have a different opinion. Like, that's a good sign of a reality star, you know?
I totally agree. I don't watch Southern Charm, so I only know Craig from like Summer House and Winter House. But I did think it was interesting how he's like questioning the future. Like that was interesting. And then I caught Amanda. She said, I want to raise, I mean, we want to raise our kids. I'm like, no, you said I. Kyle is not in this plan.
I saw that. And yeah, the Craig of it all, I thought it was really cool when he was like, I just thought it was very funny that that Kyle didn't like really comprehend what he was trying to say. Because it's like, of course you don't fucking get it in the relationship that you're in. But he was basically saying, I'm really happy with myself right now. Like, I feel like very comfortable with who I am, and I'm the happiest I've been in my life in a long time. And it doesn't really have to do with like another person. So like, if we didn't end up together, I would be okay, even though I want to be with her. And Kyle was like, he couldn't even like, he was the meme of like math around his head. Like, he just didn't get it.
He like changed the subject. He's like, didn't Amanda do great on that box?
I
Craig's like, what?
He's such an idiot. Like, he's so dumb.
I hate how much I love Kyle Cook.
I know, me too. Oh God, I could see myself like shotgunning beers with him in that damn yard, unfortunately.
Oh yeah, I'd be like, you know how Sam was his only friend last season? That would be me.
Like with him at 8 in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I think this season's fun. I like Sierra and West. They're giving us some fun stuff. The Lindsay and Carl, it just seems like two people who wanted to break up with each other but didn't want to be the first one to do it.
Totally. Yeah. In the pressure of now they've created this whole, orchestra around them about their relationship. And I think also the pressure of Vanderpump, I really do think that it played a part. I think Lindsay seems really affected by like the Vanderpump of it all and like how much it overshadowed their show. And, it just seems like it was like a recipe for disaster, really.
I mean, I definitely think Lindsay wants to be Ariana. There's no question about that. But I think it's time for Lindsay to move on to a different show, even if it's like Real Housewives of New York reboot, whatever. Like, she doesn't belong on Summer House, but Kyle Cook still does.
Yeah, for sure. She's not, As much as she tries to integrate herself and go out and get along with the girls, and I'm working on being friends with Paige, about it's like a little, it's like too late. Like, she just doesn't feel like an integral part of that show anymore in that sense. Like, it could move on without her and like be fine. Like, I don't know, she just doesn't feel like she's in it as much. But yeah, you're right. Kyle is still very much in some weird way, he's like the center of the house still.
But they're gonna have to figure out how to replace Lindsay's spot because she's the only one who keeps the storyline going.
Yeah.
Even her in season one being like, I'm gonna sleep in a bed with a man. Like, Lindsay's always shown you who she is.
Yeah, she's never tried to hide that she's a fucking nut job, and you have to love that for her. She's a great reality star. Well, say it until I'm dead.
Speaking of great reality stars, did you watch The Valley?
I didn't.
I gave it a shot and I do not think it's a great show, but everyone else loves it.
Yeah, everybody's very being very positive about it. I'm gonna watch it. I have no willpower. I'm not above anything, you know? I just had, yeah, and I'm kind of dreading it because I already know I'm like, God, like, I just really don't want to get fucking sucked into like a Jackson Brittany storyline again. I don't want to. I don't even care that they're not getting along. Even though I will say the press tour has been interesting.
I mean, another couple from the show is getting a divorce. Reality TV does really just wreck people's lives.
Did you see the interview of Kristen having to sit between them while they talked back and forth?
No.
Oh my God, it's pornographic. So Kristen's like, I think it's like Entertainment Tonight or something, Access Hollywood or whatever. But Kristen's sitting in between them because they're not communicating. And the interviewer is like, so what do you think about like, you know, sharing this stuff, like being open about it or whatever. And Jax was like, well, I don't think that it's a good idea because I think that it makes us look desperate to talk about this stuff publicly. And I think that it's private. And I think it's okay that things can be private and it's not for the world's consumption and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, I don't agree. And she's like, I think everybody should know what's going on. I want everyone to know. She's like, I have nothing to hide. Like, they're literally fighting in like a noon interview with Entertainment Tonight, and Christian's just sitting between them looking back and forth. I was like, well, that's fun. Now that I can get into.
So I've been rewatching, I think it's season five of Vanderpump, whenever Jax cheats. And like with Faith, when all it might have been six, but I think this is what I think. I think Kristen's in love with Brittany. I think Brittany's in love with Jax, and I think Jax is in love with Kristen.
Wait, say that again.
I think Kristen's in love with Brittany. Brittany is in love with Jax or was in love, and Jax is in love with Kristen.
You know, there is a strange universe where Kristen and Jax like ended up together.
Say something. Girls don't just go down on each other. Like the way these Vanderpump girls are like, no, she ate my pussy in the back seat. I'm like, that just doesn't happen as often as it does on this show.
I'm gonna give it a shot. I'm going to watch The Valley. I definitely am. I'm gonna get sucked into it. I'm gonna get emotionally invested. How is Kristen on the show? Like her return to reality TV?
I mean, she was fine. To be honest, I don't think I really paid enough attention to it. Like, Jax pants someone who's not wearing underwear and his wife's crying, which sucks. Like, but my favorite part of the whole episode, it's very Jax focused to begin with. I think Kristen will obviously have like her big scenes, but he gets dunked in the dunk tank after being like pantsing someone. And then he jumps into the pool wearing a white t-shirt and it almost looks like he's being baptized. Like he keeps coming up and out of the water and falling back in the shallow end. I'm like, is this like, what is that Christ movie? Like
After the Christ.
the Passion of Jax?
Oh my God. Okay, well, I'm a little excited to watch, I suppose. I do want to talk to you about these pool parties on Vanderpump Rules.
To quote Jimmy Carroll, if Billy Lee's the coolest person at your party, you gotta cancel the party.
Babe, seek help. Hire people. Let me tell you what I don't want to watch on my TV. I'll tell you exactly in extreme detail. What I don't want to see is Billie Lee kicking her toes in a pool next to Tom and like corroborating all of his dumb stories and all of his bullshit and his jokes and his music and all of his fucking bullshit. Like, I am uninterested in the Billy Lee narrative, okay? And I have been for a very long time. Get Billy Lee off my TV. These pool parties are so cringe. Like, these, and like this, him like performing at the parties and singing acapella with the piano. I'm just like, what is going on?
He's like doing Phantom of the Opera in like his pool. It's so bizarre.
It's so embarrassing. It's so crazy. And I feel like it's a real, like, I feel like the producers are going out of their way to show like the real him this year. They're like, no, we need you to live through these cringy moments because it's what it's actually like to interact with him.
Tom's like, I'm the villain. It's like, no, you're a cringe monster. You're not a villain.
Him singing at that piano made me want to unalive. I wanted to walk through glass. I couldn't, I was like, this, end it, end this.
My favorite part of last Vanderpump episode is when at the very beginning it's between Ariana and Sheena, and Sheena's like, it really hurt my feelings. And then you it like zooms out and she's holding Ariana's dog's paw. And I'm like, that is Sheena's emotional support animal.
Sheena kills me. She is so camp.
I agree. Like, I know people hate her and I get why, but also just like lean in a little with her.
You have to view her as like a campy, almost non-human individual. And then you'll just fall in love with her.
This episode is sponsored by Quince. As you guys know, Troy and I love Quince. We always talk about how it helped furnish our homes, weighted blankets, sheets. It has literally everything. It even has luggage. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. Organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. So what I mentioned before, I love bedding. I am a sheet snob. I love sheets. I think they're the most important part of the bed. And Quince has bamboo sheets that I'm obsessed with. It helps regulate your body temperature. And listen, I can be a little bit of a sweaty sleeper. I'm the first to admit it. And Quince has helped me with that. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/blinds for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince. NCE.com/blinds to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Again, that's quince.com/blinds.
This week's episode is also sponsored by ZocDoc. You know when you get cornered by that aunt at a family gathering and you feel like you have to bend the truth? You know the one who will ask you when you're getting married, why you've gained weight, why you haven't gotten the promotion that you were talking about, only for her to not even really listen to your answers and just judge you. While you may have to grin and bear it with your family, you shouldn't feel that way when talking to your doctor about that rash that weirdly looks like your high school crush. Enter ZocDoc. The place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews, so you can make sure the vibes are vibing before you meet IRL. With ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know. Are you that one friend in your friend group that loves to treat yourself? It's okay. We honestly all do. You're the person who gets a pedicure and you opt for the 10-minute extra foot massage with the green tea infused lotion. You're the person who will buy double at a sale because it's like saving money. You know, girl math. Well, if you treat yourself to the top options with everything in life, then why settle when finding a doctor? It is your health after all. We all know that there are things in life that you need to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there is no compromise. So don't go back to that doctor who uses your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines just because they're available right now or they take your slightly sketchy insurance. I know for me, moving to the city was really like finding doctors was like a whole thing. Like I remember calling my mom and being like, I don't know how to find a doctor in New York. You just like show up at doctors. Like, what do you do? So this is really, really helpful. And it's also way easier to put off health stuff if you feel like it's difficult to find a doctor. It just is what it is. You're way less likely to go. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Go to ZocDoc.com/blinds and download the ZocDoc app for free. And then find and book top-rated doctors today. That's ZocDoc.com/blinds, ZocDoc.com/blinds.
50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios in Wondery comes the competition.
Host Shima Oliyei was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now she is returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks of 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after?
Follow the competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of the competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
I need to talk about some lesbian drama. I don't know if anyone will care other than me, but it just needs to be talked about.
Okay.
The singer Fletcher, she released a new album last week, and it's incredible. I think everyone should listen to it. But there's a track number 5 called Two Things Can Be True. And one thing to know about Fletcher is she is a Taylor Swift fan. And one thing about Taylor Swift is track number 5 is always like the most important track. She tries to put like her most emotional song, things like that. So I'm listening to this song and I get near the end and I hear Kelsey Ballerini's laugh. And I'm like, weird. Because I don't know if you remember, we used to get DMs about these two because of how much they were together. They were doing a lot of Instagram lives together. They did a music video together. Like, for a while, people are like, what the fuck's going on with Kelsey and Fletcher? So the song's all about loving like a straight girl who won't come out of the closet for you. And it's about how like we can both love you. Two things can be true. And a big part of Kelsey's Call Her Daddy interview was saying, well, you know, two things can be true. The quote that I thought you made up. So I just have, that's all I want to talk about. There's literally no more information than what I just said, but I'm like getting pretty bold putting Kelsey's laugh in it. And I posted it to my Instagram and on TikTok, and a few people said her laugh is not in the actual album version. It's just on Spotify and YouTube. What?
Spooky. It's also very like Tegan and Sarah to like write a song like that about like, you know, that's like a real, I love that. I love like lesbian drama.
I love it. And then there's a song called Joyride, which I think is about Kelsey. Like one thing about queer singers is they put blind items in their music, which I love.
Yeah, because they have to, you know?
Totally.
Well, speaking of Call Her Daddy, I don't know if anybody listening to this listened to or watched Megan Fox on Call Her Daddy, but I thought it was such a good interview. It was so, I actually really like Call Her Daddy. And I think that she does a really good job. Like in a world where we don't really have people that we can rely on for celebrity interviews, except for like content creators, I do think that she's like one of the better interviewers. And I think she makes her guests feel comfortable enough to like share stuff. Now, I'm not saying that she's not Barbara Walters. She's not, you know, orchestrating these beautiful like interviews that have highs and lows and dips and tears, and you know, they're like, they're fun and silly for the most part. They can be serious, but like, I don't know, I like her, and I thought it was a really good interview, and it made me realize why I like Megan Fox, and sometimes I forget. And I just thought it was really interesting listening to her talk about like, you know, her rise and fall and the way that people, like her perspective of how people perceived her, and like how, you know, even her talking about when there was like a petition to, in like 2007, like an anti-Megan Fox day, it's all kinds of crazy shit. And you realize like, when it comes to beautiful women, that people feel, they just project a lot of shit onto beautiful girls that they feel threatened by. Especially young, beautiful women in Hollywood.
Fully, I didn't. I saw like clips. I didn't watch the whole thing. But one thing about Megan Fox is she's also funny. And I don't think Hollywood would ever allow someone who looks like Megan Fox to be funny. We saw a bit, I didn't watch New Girl, but we saw a bit in it of it. And like, this is 40. But one clip I did see was her talking about drinking MGK's blood. And she was basically like, you guys have random sperm in your mouth. I was kind of like, well, shit.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, honestly, a point I would make. You say girly, that's something that I feel like I would say, but it's true. She's like, and like, religion is all weird. Like, she's a very spiritual person. She's witchy. She is extremely into astrology. At some point in the interview, she was like, well, she was like, Aquarius is my 12th kingdom. So it's just like, I don't know what the fuck that means. Like what? She's very, very, very intelligent and very like inquisitive and smart and like curious. And I just think she's an interesting person to listen to speak. And she even said, like, you know, I like there was a moment where like I basically left Hollywood because I couldn't take being like ridiculed and judged and critiqued or whatever anymore. And then I saw people talking about me in a more positive way when people what we've talked about a lot, where during the anniversary for Jennifer's body, she got kind of tied up into that and people started re-examining how she was treated and stuff. And she said, you know, I came out and I was like, oh, okay, like you guys are being like kind now, and like it seems like people like me and understand that I'm not like evil or whatever. And then as soon as she came out again, it was like right back to square one. And I just thought it was really interesting. But she was like, I might honestly, I don't want to, but I might leave again because right now I feel like I'm too famous and it's like, it's a lot. And people are getting really mean again and it's like scary and intense. And I might end up just disappearing. I don't know. It was very candid. It was for a celebrity, it was a very candid interview and I just enjoyed it.
Well, that's cool. I'll say my only like pushback with Alex Cooper is I wish she had any follow-up questions than being like, wow, that's crazy. So your next movie was this. It's like, just like, well, even her, if I wish she would just say, well, what do you mean by that? Like, just have them think a little bit deeper. But I get what you're saying. There's nowhere really else other than like watch what happens live.
Yeah, and like Zane Lowe or something, you know, like it's really slim pickings, or unless you want to see them get a pie in the face on Jimmy Fallon, like if you want to see deep conversation, like it's kind of she's what we got, you know? And I'm like, I'm okay with it, I guess. But yeah, anybody that hasn't listened, I really suggest listening to it. It was very good.
Well, we do have Sean Evans from Hot Ones. I
Oh,
think
hello.
he's an incredible interviewer, and Gwyneth Paltrow was just on. If people haven't watched it, that's all I can say. Like, she only went on because her son likes the show. She had nothing to promote. She really didn't have like any. She killed a fly mid-air. And at the end, she gives him a facial because she's like, I guess I'll show you some Goop products since I have nothing to promote. And like, he's dipping his napkin and like washing his face to get it wet. And he's like, is this wet enough? And she goes, you heteros are so strange.
Listen, you know my thoughts on that woman. I will always stand by the fact that we would kiki, we would chain smoke, we would drink, we would kick our feet, we would laugh, we would talk shit. I just know I would stay up with her until 3 a.m. But then when we're out in public, we would have to pretend that that side of her doesn't exist. She's selling $40,000 gold-plated vagina Kegel balls or whatever, but like really, I think she's like a silly, goofy, fun, down-to-earth girl.
It was seriously so fun. And you know how people are always like, do you think there are aliens among us? I'm like, Gwyneth Paltrow is an alien.
Yeah, a Nordic one, if you will. I just really quickly wanted to talk about the fact that Birkin or that Hermes is being sued. And I just think that's very interesting because if you don't know, like Hermes's business practices are so fucking insane and so illegal. And the only reason that it isn't a bigger deal is because it's like a wealthy person's brand and they're allowed to basically like toy with people to get their products. But it's absolutely fucking ridiculous. And I don't know if anybody knows this, but like you can't just like buy a Birkin. Like it's not, you can't just like purchase a Birkin. You have to be offered a Birkin. And to be offered a Birkin, you have to buy smaller items at Hermès. So you have to buy things like clothes and jewelry and whatever. And then when you accumulate enough stuff, then they'll start offering you their low quality, their lowest end Birkins. But they don't give you like a pick. You just get offered what they want to give you. That's illegal. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, there's just no world where that's not the same as going to fucking Chinatown and like getting a bag. You know what I mean? Like, you may as well give it to me from the trunk. What's the difference? That you're giving it to me with white gloves on? This is still some kind of weird situation. Like, I have to buy a bunch of scarves to be offered the purse that I want to buy. Go fuck yourself.
Obviously, I know like classism is a thing, but like I don't really think about it anymore other than like the fucking Titanic. This sounds like I'd be put in steerage. They'd be like, no.
Actually took a little screenshot of one of the court documents, and it says the availability of the Birkin handbag is conditioned on customer purchasing I can't say that word, but you guys know what I mean, products from defendants. In other words, consumers are coerced into purchasing products from defendants by virtue of wanting to purchase the Birkin handbag. But it's just crazy, and it's just interesting to see like this randomly happen out of nowhere. Like, I don't know. And if I mean, even like as far back as like I learned about Birkins through Sex and the City as a teenager. That's how I figured it out, like watching Samantha Jones try and acquire her Birkin. And the fact that women like go through that in, well, anybody, not just women, the fact that people go through that to get a fucking plain ass. I mean, let's not even talk about the fact that the Birkin itself is not even like a really well-constructed bag. It's a shitty purse and it looks like a Michael Kors bag. Like there's like nothing about it that feels really special except for the fact that it's so exclusive and so whatever. And if you're Jeffree Star, you have 80 of them, all different animal skins that you're gonna sell one day if the world ends. But it's just interesting, and I kind of love seeing it happen.
I think it's so crazy that the producers of The Hills would like dangle Birkins in front of like Lowe and Stephanie Pratt to be like, spread this rumor. You want a Birkin?
And they'd be like,
Of course, Kristen's on cocaine.
yeah, she's crazy and a whore. Thank you.
This is gonna seem surprising, but John Tucker Must Die, they just did a reunion type thing at one of those like fandom fan con things. And they announced a sequel. And this seems like something I should be very excited for. Love Brittany Snow, love Sophia Bush. Them kissing in that movie was very important to me growing up. Keep it. We don't need sequels. I think you said that last week. I'm like, what am I gonna watch? John Tucker have a dick son and be mean to Brittany Snow's daughter? Unless one of them is marrying John Tucker and he cheats on one of them, I don't want it.
Like, is nobody capable of a new idea? Is that where we are? Nobody's capable of an original script or screen. We just have to keep making sequels and reboots and reimaginings and musical versions of the reimagining. But who wants a John Tucker Must Die? Who is even talking about or watching John Tucker Must Die? And where can you even stream it? Like, where is the demand for this movie?
Listen, I think John Tucker Must Die is severely underrated. I think it should be held up with like Mean Girls, Easy A. I think she's the man. It should be talked about like that. But that's it. You know, Sophia
Yeah.
Bush, you're booked and busy. You're a new lesbian. I know it's a very exciting time. It's not the time to jump into this sequel.
It's just so random and like I'm just like it's just not exciting anymore to hear about these like reimaginings or whatever sequels. It's just like ugh, it feels exhausting.
No one else is exhausting, and this is kind of the last thing I have to talk about. Euphoria is never coming back.
Yeah, at this point it's like let's just, which makes me sad because I really do love Euphoria. Like I really like the show and I think it's really cool. And I think It cannot be stated enough how impactful just those to have, what was it, two seasons? To have only had two seasons and basically change youth culture completely, makeup trends, fashion trends, the way we view everything is like different because of Euphoria. Like TikTok changed, everything changed because of Euphoria. And to only have had two seasons and have that much impact on the world is crazy. So it's like sad to see this happening, but also at the same time, it's like, what are they going to be 40?
And honestly, from what we've heard about how Sam runs those sets, it's for the best that there's not going to be another season. Because I think there's going to be a, like, maybe not a surviving Sam Levinson, but some kind of deep dive on him.
I agree. And it feels like with the what was the show with?
The Idol.
It seems like with the idol, it was like flying too close to the sun. Like Euphoria was already insane, and there were like rumblings of how he treats the people on that set. But then with the idol, it was like, okay, like you're not only psycho, you're like obviously a narcissist and very full of yourself and a douchebag.
The end.
To put it lightly.
And like he just wanted everyone topless.
And he took a really cool concept that a lot of like queer people and like women specifically would have like connected to with the idol and switched it into this disgusting like porn, really chauvinistic, like wild, just like male fantasy bullshit.
Yeah, I totally agree. I watched the first season of Euphoria and I liked it. I just couldn't get into the second season. Unfortunately, I think like Twitter hyped it up too much, but you can't deny that it like a pop culture phenomenon.
It was wild. Like, even just with makeup, the way makeup immediately changed with Euphoria. And like, it hasn't gone back. Like, it kind of, we are post Euphoria in the way that we view makeup and fashion. And I feel like the way that TikTok sort of started spiraling with like micro trends and stuff was honestly a result of Euphoria. Because I feel like people couldn't even keep up with how much they wanted to emulate Euphoria. It's just crazy. It's just a wild thing. But yeah, we're never getting that season. I'm sorry, but it aren't happening. I just very quickly, before we end the episode, wanted to mention, so our Patreon this week, if you haven't seen, we are going to be talking, of course, about Quiet on Set. And one person that I have seen kind of resurface is Ricky Garcia. And I just think that that's like, I thought about him a lot when this was happening because I really just felt so sad for him in the way that his coming out with all of this stuff was handled. Like, nobody cared. Nobody said anything about it. The stories were all basically put out. Like, I mean, it really seemed like they tried to like quiet his story. And then he got caught up in like the Corey Feldman of it all because Corey was like, well, I'll tell your story. And he put him in that documentary that they tried to block. And then Corey was asking for money. And it just got very complicated and really messy for him. So I've seen people talking about him again. And I've seen him doing interviews and stuff post Quiet on Set. And it seems like now, like, this is like a better moment for him to. And that's why it's so important, you know?
Totally. And I think when you hear people like, say, a Corey Feldman or whoever, even though they're quote unquote crazy, you just have to listen, like lean in a little bit more, and you'll hear everything they're saying, whether it's Aubrey O'Day, whether it's Orlando Brown, honestly, like any of those quote unquote crazies.
Yeah. So type Ricky's name in TikTok right now. There's a lot of stuff coming up, and a lot of people completely missed his story because, like I said, it got quieted. It seemed like they tried to make sure nobody heard it. So rooting for Ricky Garcia.
And yeah, I guess we can wrap this up. You know, we talked about it, and half of the Quiet on Set podcast will be public. The other half will be on Patreon. That's episodes 3 and 4, just for like, you know, it's tough to talk about, and we share personal stuff there, and we just thought it would be better kind of protected.
1000%. And it's, yeah, it's dark. The Drake stuff is just so intense. So, yeah.
But we hope to see you guys on tour. It's like a month out, which is crazy. DC's the first stop. And you know what? That's where I found my girlfriend. So maybe you'll find like love there. Who knows?
God, I would love to meet with my Ryan Phillippe.
Ryan Phillippe, we know you're in Dewey Beach, Delaware somewhere. You can come.
Please, okay? I'm not a young, gorgeous girl who's friends with your daughter, but I there are benefits. That's all I'll say.
We've already done an episode on you. We're not going to do another.
Right.
And with that, thank you guys so much for listening. We hope to see you at live shows. And yeah, we can't wait to talk to you next week.
Love you. Bye.